This tape is a production of All Roads Ministry, which essentially means Vin Lewis, because we're sort of the same thing. This is on the air, tape number 274, approximately. And the first part of this tape is a continuation, that is an ending, of the Pat Campbell show upon which I appeared, metaphorically. It's a radio show, and I did it by phone, in August of 1995. And the show ran a little long, so the first part of this tape, this side, consists of the last part of the Pat Campbell show. So, as is a good Christian principle, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And we'll have a slight overlapping with the last tape, simply because otherwise this tape wouldn't be long enough, so we just have to pad it out a little bit to make you feel you're getting your money's worth. But if you know me, you're used to this type of stuff. And let's hope you enjoy it, and listen to it, and buy it again. Goodbye and good luck.
Back to the phones here. Quick question. Why can't we have female priests in the Catholic Church?
Oh, a thousand reasons, but the primary one is it would make women unhappy, and Jesus, being man, as well as God, as every real man does, prefers women to men. So, therefore, he favors women. The nature of women is to constantly change. All women always like to be changing their hair and changing their clothes and changing everything they can and changing the furniture around and changing the colors of their cars and all of that stuff. We men sort of put up with it, but that's what makes women happy. The nature of truth is that it is unchanging. The nature of truth is to conserve, preserve, and pass on without addition. Women don't like to ever do that. They always like to vary the recipes they read in books. So therefore, since the nature of a priest, among other things, is ultimately to become a cardinal or a pope or a bishop, and to pass on the teachings of the church, this would be unnatural for women. So therefore, God, when he created women, knew this, put them in a role that would make them happy, and put us men in a role that would make us happy. But the reason women can't be priests, it would make them miserable.
Fair enough.
God wants us to be happy on earth as well as in heaven.
Fair enough. Let's go to the phone.
Okay, hold on 1 minute.
Sure, go right ahead.
I wanted to follow up on a couple of calls, just a couple of brief comments. The last lady about me being have some kind of official position is an old expression in the church that once a man becomes a bishop, two things happen. He never again has a bad meal. He never again hears the truth. I think that would happen to any official Catholic, and I'd rather continue to eat badly and hear the truth. Another point on the whole bit of education, although my all of the organizational stuff that we teach, and we now put out, I guess, probably about 300 different titles on how to defend and explain and spread the faith and to be apologetic and defensive and to present things logically, I clearly point out that in a very real sense, we're a fraud. All you can do is, if you ever want to become as skilled as I am, you don't need any schooling. All you need is God. Just ask the gift from God. And if it's proper for you to be so, he will give it. And one last point, and I think this just came up before, so just make there were several implications of this. One of the problems about taking the Bible literally is you lead to contradictions which ultimately make the Bible invalid. So I'm just going to read two quick quotes. One is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 12, verse 34. Jesus is asked a question, and then he answers it, and then the line says this. This is a quote from Jesus. "You are not far from the reign of God," end quote. Then it said, "And no one had the courage to ask him any more questions." Now, next chapter, chapter 13, verse 4. This is Peter, James, John, and Andrew began to question him privately. "Tell us, when will this occur? When will be a sign that all of this is coming to an end?" So less than a chapter, full chapter later, we have people asking him questions when we were just told previously no one had the courage to ask him any more questions. So the point is, even when the Bible says something like no one had the courage to ask him any more questions, it doesn't mean literally what it says. And that's one of the problems we have to do. That lady with that implication with the word until, that we have to be careful to understand the Bible is always telling the truth, but we have to understand what it is saying. Mm-hmm. Okay, next go to a call, please.
All right, let's go to the phones. Thanks for waiting. You're on Flagship.
Hey, good morning, Pat.
Good morning. How are you?
Listen, this guy, he ain't got no faith to renounce. He's just a two-bit hustler and bum like Judas was. And that's in a book. Read it and weep. And that's it. God bless America.
Finn, I think it was a joke, Pat, so I guess we won't take it seriously.
That wasn't a joke. That guy's very serious. He calls
all
the time.
Well, he used a double negative, so therefore he's contradictory, which means since I ain't got no faith, if we add that up correctly as an intelligence, I shouldn't say that, as an average intelligent person would say, that means I do have faith. And again, of course, I rejoice when people say bad things about me for the sake of Christ.
Amen, cousin. Back to the phones. Thanks for waiting. You're on Flagship.
Lord, good morning, Pat.
John, you got to keep it short, sweet, and to the point.
I will, and it's good. You know something? I'd like to say first in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen, cousin.
I understand you're practicing carefully, God, Pat, but Vinny here seems to be like he said that if you want something, you just pray to God. Well, first you repent in the name of Christ. And in 2.5 hours coming up, so I ain't heard him share it short and sweet. And I'd suggest for anyone out there, regardless if they're Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, etc., all human race, repent in the name of Christ and remember the Father's rules.
But John, do you have a question? John, do you have a question for my guest?
Yes, the question is like right there. He says, pray to the Father. You shall receive anything. No, you repent in the name of Christ first, and then a teacher that claims to be a teacher of the real spirit, it will give you a list and a reminder of the
We're not getting to a question, Pat.
Yeah, John, Ben,
I gotta
apologize.
Yeah,
you have just
right.
met
These
you have just
right.
met Erie's poster child for Prozac.
Yeah,
let me get
obviously.
Back to the phones. Good morning, you're on Flagship.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. First of all, I'd like to say that I guess I would classify myself as a believer, but I am not a Catholic. Certainly not a Catholic. But I guess my main question to Vin is how can you justify a Sunday holy day? I'm a believer in the seventh day as the holy day of God, and I'd like to hear Vin's take on why the Catholic Church changed the worship day from the Sabbath day to Sunday.
Because when Jesus promised to St. Peter in Matthew 16 the keys to the kingdom, one of the things he said quite specifically is, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, whatever you change on earth, I will confirm the change in heaven. This means that St. Peter was given individually and personally the power to alter divine rules for man. And that's exactly what he did, and it's been followed through ever since.
Well, can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Why did, if this is so, and if this is... how history and church doctrine and so on was to ultimately evolve, why in the Ten Commandments are we told to remember the Sabbath day? Why did God in the very beginning establish the Sabbath day and the seventh day as the holy day of worship? And why did he let it get changed later on when Peter or whoever the later...
I understand you. Because all of the Old Testament was preparation for the new. And one reason, I'm only saying one, but I'm offering it as a reason, one reason so that you would know that the old rules were no longer in effect is by a radical change of things like that, such as no more blood sacrifices at the temple, no more religious circumcision, no more, scapegoating, no more Yom Kippur, no more Passover, and let's change the day, just so nobody would get the impression that things are the same way they were, because everything changed when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and if you're still following the old way, it isn't going to get you into heaven, because you can't be justified by works of the law, and just so nobody would have any doubt about it, let's change something really strong.
Caller, thanks for the call. Caller's online, bear with me. Vin, a question I want to get in. A situation that's come up here in Erie that I want you to comment on. Sister Joan Chittister, the radical Benedictine nun, is going to be attending the United Nations Fourth World Conference on Women in September in Beijing, China. I believe, and again, this is my opinion, that she, along with some others, are going over there to impose on the world's women a radical feminist ideology that's going to be harmful to women, harmful to men, and harmful to children. Now, I have referred to her repeatedly on the program as one of the gender feminists. She'll be over there with the likes of Bella Abzug, you know, the Jane Fondas, you know the type I'm
sure.
talking about. They're attempting to use this United Nations conference to redefine a number of things, including masculinity, femininity, fatherhood, motherhood, manhood, womanhood, heterosexuality, marriage, family. They believe that those labels are culturally... created fictions conceived by men, you know, evil white men probably, to oppress women. Now they, And I'm talking about Joan. She's going over there under the guise of press credentials from the National... What is the National Catholic...
Hey, Pat, have you got a question here?
Yeah, I do. Come on. You got to hang with me, pal.
Okay.
Hang with me.
All
from
right.
The National Catholic... What is it? A reporter of the National...
I don't know.
The liberal rag. One of those.
Yeah.
Anyways, she wants, and the others over there, want to force other nations to accept the notion that there should be no discrimination, okay, against those who choose a different sexual orientation. That parents have no business imposing their morals and values on their own children, and the children have the right to confidentiality, particularly with regard to birth control and abortion. And abortion, if they have their way, would be made almost a human right, like freedom of speech. How do you feel about a Catholic nun attending such a conference in one of the most oppressive countries in the world? And what should good Catholics do about this?
Well, two things. Number one, good Catholics, I think, should ignore it because you can't do anything about it. I really don't think it's worthwhile even writing a letter to the editor because it's a waste of time. But the second thing is, I think she's sort of punishing herself. Anybody who's ever gone to a conference that's even close like that knows that it's a true foretaste of hell. She'll have to listen to 40,000 other speeches with consecutive translations going on or concurrent translations going on, and she'll have to afford politely and smile and stand up there. And all I can say is she's got a foretaste of hell. She deserves to attend these conferences. Let's be realistic, Pat. In the world of who knows how many billion people, how many people even think of the United Nations daily, and how many of them actually let it affect what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
The average woman in the world is worrying about washing her clothes, keeping her children from being killed, or helping her mother. And she doesn't have time to listen to some idiot nun comment about things like this.
Isn't there any type of disciplinary action that can be taken against dissenters like this?
Of course, but it's not going to happen. The reason it's not going to happen, as I said before, we have metaphorically women priests. The clergy in America, the male clergy in America, in the Catholic Church, are so intimidated by the charge of sexism or racism or conservatism or reactionism, that they will not criticize any woman under any circumstances for anything.
So hold on a second.
Yeah.
Now, the Catholic Church, still in this modern day, has excommunicated people. I can think of a couple of examples. A prime one that comes to example, the arch-conservative Bishop Lefebvre.
Yeah. That's questionable about whether he's actually excommunicated or not, but let's assume he was.
It's commonly believed that he excommunicated himself.
Okay, but that's a different story.
Okay, why then are the Catholic bishops, the Catholic cardinals, Catholic clergy over here, unwilling to discipline the likes of a Mario Cuomo,
Ted Kennedy, or
Joan Chittister?
I have two aspects that I teach people all the time. One is the secret of the 20th century, but since you only have a rating of about two people, I can tell it without it leading out. Number one, people lie. The other point is the most important factor ever in the history of the world as far as human behavior, bar none, nothing even comes in second place to this, is style and fashion. Style and fashion dictate more behavior than any other 15 factors putting together, and I'm talking about God, I'm talking about Satan, I'm talking about survival, I'm talking about hunger, I'm talking about flood, pestilence, plague, lust, envy, greed, style, and fashion. During the World War I, just to use one simple analogy, the British officers used to go over the top into no man's land wearing white gloves and carrying swagger sticks and no weapons to make sure that the Germans would kill them. And they did that because it was stylish and fashionable. Women today distort their bodies, destroy their feet, run around in screwy clothes all the time, and put their hairs in odd, bizarre things because of style and fashion. And we men will sit in front of images on a TV screen because we were raised to think that sports are important. The point is, the style and fashion is not to criticize women these days. Therefore, these men, having no counteracting factor, such as faith in God, because they don't, because if they had faith in God, they'd be teaching what I'm teaching, and they don't. Therefore, the only factor left in their life is style and fashion, and style and fashion says you don't criticize women, so therefore, she's a woman, she's not to be criticized.
Well, what about Kennedy and Cuomo? Last I checked, these were guys.
That's a good point, but they are, I'll bet you, official members of the National Organization for Women.
Yeah, I would,
and that makes
sure.
them, like Phil Donahue, quasi-women. And therefore they... No, it's absolutely correct. You know, right now, if you have any black blood in you, it's very smart to say you're black. Back in the old days, if you had any black blood in you, it was very smart to say you're white.
Uh-huh.
But now, because of all the quotas and the anti-white laws and all of that stuff, it's very smart to establish yourself as a minority.
Yeah.
Because that's an advantage. So therefore, these guys are quasi-women, and therefore quasi-women are not criticized either.
Vin, let's pause on that note. I need to get a commercial break in. We'll be back with your calls for Vin Lewis and the Order That Received at 835-1330. And I've got to learn to shorten my questions for Vin.
You've made the flip. Welcome aboard the flagship of Erie's Airwaves. Great. The Right Way with Pat Campbell.
You know, at the end of the program today, I'm going to present Vin with a check for $3,600 to show my appreciation for his appearance on the program. Of course, it will be signed by Maisie Smith-Perdue. Vin, since you're not from Erie, Maisie Smith-Perdue is one of our local school board directors that turned herself in yesterday for writing about $3,600 worth of bad checks
in
a local shopping market. So you'll be able to dribble it all the way back to Hopewell, New York. Let's
give
out the phone number again here for Vin, 914-226-4172. Once again, area code 914-226-4172. Let's get back to the phone and take a few more calls here. Thanks for waiting. You're on Flagship.
Pat, are you doing your phone? You doing your show today from a phone booth on 10th and Parade by any chance?
No, but John did call.
Okay. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning.
First of all, quick question. Are you familiar with the Book of Q?
No.
No, you're not? I'd be curious to see your opinion of it, what archaeologists are looking
for. Oh, wait a minute. You're talking about Q, Quell, the source upon which the other Gospels are supposedly based?
Yes.
Yes, I'm familiar with it now. I think it's a totally idiotic concept. It's completely stupid, not even just blasphemous. It is blasphemous, of course, but I think it's just one of these idiotic things that scholars think they have to do to show that they're smarter than everybody else by introducing something else that the common person isn't aware of.
Right. Have you ever read through the text where they've taken the actual words of Christ out of the context of the rest of the Bible and just put them down, the actual things that...
I've read some of that stuff, but it didn't stick much. I read it mostly out of curiosity.
Yeah, it is a curious thing. Here's the philosophical and theological question I wanted to put to you today. Would you be willing to state that God is omniscient?
Yes.
Omnipotent?
Yes.
And omnibenevolent?
Yes.
Okay, how would you define omnibenevolent?
Omnibenevolent means that he wants everything good for us and will give us everything good for us if we do not resist his will.
Okay. Would you be willing to say that it would be an act of serious cruelty to sentence someone to an eternity of torturous punishment?
No.
No?
No. Hell is the best place for people who are not fit for heaven. It's an act of mercy.
It's an act of mercy?
Absolutely.
How would you describe hell? What goes on there?
Oh, well, among other things, it's a significant amount of pain and isolation and fear and terror.
And it is eternal?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So how is it an act of mercy then to...
Because heaven would be worse if you weren't fit for it.
Right. And there's no opportunity to ever get... What about oblivion? What about just blinking someone out of existence?
Can't do it.
Wouldn't that be the humane thing to do?
No.
Why?
Well, first of all, God isn't humane. He's divine, okay? Because God doesn't make mistakes, and when he creates people, he creates them for all eternity.
Okay. So...
If he were to uncreate, he would be saying, oh, slipped up on this one. Sort of like someone who, you know, makes the wrong defective thing and throw it back in the pot to it's like you remelt a piece of metal. God doesn't do things like that.
So God created people to, he created us all imperfect, though, didn't he?
No. He creates us all perfectly.
He creates us perfectly?
Yes, because he can't do anything else.
Okay, so then how is it that we become imperfect?
Oh, because we... Because of our free will, which is one of those concepts of perfection, we choose sin as opposed to choose the will of God for us.
Okay, and so by choosing sin, we then theoretically condemn ourselves to eternity
exactly.
in hell. And again, I put the question to you, why should we be sentenced to an eternity of suffering greater than the measly 3 hours that Christ suffered on the cross? Why should we be condemned to an eternity of much greater suffering?
I'm not sure if it's greater, but that's irrelevant. Because we consciously choose to do that, and because God gives us free will and God's justice, which is part of being omnibenevolent, will follow our will if we choose to reject them or choose to accept them. God is another omniservant. He will do whatever we ask him to do.
Caller, I thank you for the call. Let's get another one in here for Vin. Good morning. You're on Flagship.
Good morning, Pat.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
We got about a minute and a half.
Okay,
let's make it quick.
For you. give me your opinion, your take on when Jesus fleeced his temple, all the merchants were in his father's temple.
Mm-hmm. When he went in and turned the tables over, everything
and everything up. Like that, and they turned it into a merchant's house, his temple. What's the difference between that and gambling in the Catholic Church now and then? Isn't that the same thing? And secondly, why do you have to pray to the saints, and why do you have to pray to the Pope?
Okay.
And you
we don't pray
you,
to the Pope.
Can't you have a direct line to God?
Sure. Okay.
Good question. Hold on.
The Pope is a man, and the saints are men.
Yeah.
We're not
going to
good questions. Good questions. We're going to let Vin respond. Go
Very
ahead, Vin.
Very briefly, gambling is different from money changing. The money changing was wrong, among other reasons, because it had the head of Caesar on it, and once that was put inside the temple, it was a violation of Old Testament law and therefore self-contradiction. We never pray to the Pope, or at least I never know anybody who does.
No.
We pray for him. Why do we pray to saints? Because it's in the Bible. I got a half-hour tape on it called Intercessory Prayer that is a biblical principle to ask others to do things for us and to go through others to God. In other words, the Bible itself is a man-made creation which brings us to a knowledge of God. All we're doing is following that principle out by going through others to God.
Then we got to wrap things
right
up. As per usual, just a huge, tremendous pleasure to have you on the program. You're always one of the most fascinating guests I have on. People will be talking about you for weeks to come.
Thank
Again,
you.
The phone number to get in touch, in contact with Vin Lewis, area code 914-226-4172. And Vin, if you'd like to give out the address, go ahead.
55 Palin, that's P as in perfect, A-L-E-N, Road, number 38, Hope Well Junction, New York, 12533. If you want a catalog of our stuff, send me a couple of bucks to defray expenses. But don't expect a personal reply. Call me. Don't write me.
Good enough, sir.
Thanks
Have
a lot,
the, the best of the remainder of the summer there,
God
and we'll
bless.
Be back in touch with you.
Right.
Folks, an American original, Mr. Vin Lewis, and we're off to the newsroom. When we return, we'll have a Thursday edition of Service Line, our feature today, Blue Cross of Northwestern Pennsylvania.
Covering the north coast of Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New York with 5,000 watts. You're listening to Flagship 1330.
Well, that ends the show, needless to say. And now I have a real problem, is padding out the rest of this side. So let me do what I usually don't do on these tapes, is give cross-references, or as they would, if they were in the back of a book, might be bibliography. The concept of God literally serving us and submitting himself to our will is a concept which I dealt with and developed, I hope, in a tape entitled The Submissive God. If you have a catalog, you should be able to look it up. It's in the T.S. and Thomas section. And I think it's around 30 or so. And that whole concept is developed there, and I hope validated there. One of the other concepts about why women can't be priests, particularly from the concept of change, is dealt with at, I hope, some more significant depth and perhaps with further development of the, I hope, correct insight in tape T, as in Thomas, 4, Creation, Fall, Men, and Women. That was a recording of a live talk I gave at a Catholic rendezvous a number of years ago. But again, we're all out of... Since truth is always out of time, it really doesn't matter when that occurs, does it? When that occurred. Also, there is a tape called Basic Theology, in which I deal with the... Basic Theology number 3, in which I deal with the gender distinctions, I hope, a little more, and perhaps at greater development, again, dealing at least indirectly with the concept of women priests versus men priests. So you could, if you, shall I say, felt cheated because of the nature of the calls, and I was unable to develop fully exactly what I was driving at, I would suggest you obtain those tapes and listen to them. Another point, especially developing the concept that everybody literally picks and chooses on their own concept of the Bible, from literal to metaphorical, to symbolic to figurative, back to literal again, historical, exact, non-precise, etc., and does it, in essence, in accord to a preconceived system, I would suggest that you obtain the tape which deals with this, which I believe is M as in Mary 6, and it deals with the Bible biblical interpretation. I believe that's the correct title. It might not be. It might be M3. Both of those in the Christian basic sense sections of the ARM selections deal with that concept that no one interprets the Bible simply as is, but everybody interprets the Bible according to a preconceived, pre-accepted, pre-approved systematic approach, even if that systematic approach is nothing but the enthronement of one's own personal prejudices. I'm not sure if I've dealt with formally anywhere the concept of hell, which I tried to develop towards the end, so I'll mention it briefly here. I certainly know I've spoken on it, but I don't know if I've ever spoken on it while a tape recorder was going. I believe I've written on it, but I'm not sure if it was in something that I've already published or perhaps in a letter. Briefly, it goes like this, that the Bible frequently says... This tape is on the air, whatever number it is, and this is side two. Now, some tapes, if any of you have heard me before, you've heard me comment on this, some tapes sometimes have a history, and sometimes that history is worthwhile recording. This tape does have a history. This tape will be, in essence, a recording of an interview conducted with me being the interviewed person by a Protestant radio station manager. The radio station and the manager are both located in West Virginia. Briefly, what happened was a supporter of mine, a gentleman by the name of Lee Paulier, who lives in West Virginia, heard this radio station and felt that perhaps it would be fun if a Catholic got on there and showed them where they were wrong. So he called the manager and asked the manager if he, that is the manager, would allow me on the show for purposes, we hoped, of developing enough interest so that ultimately a debate could be conducted on the show or a question and answer period from the audience. The manager agreed, and I was under the misconception, that I was given a free half hour in which I could say anything. So what I did was I developed a tape essentially on why I am not a Protestant. That tape I'll have to issue somewhere else at another time. If the transcript is done, I simply haven't recorded it. Instead, the discussion turned into an interview, and of course that didn't bother me at all. So what you will hear is the interview as it should have went out over the air. But when the guy who makes the decision, as opposed to the manager, heard this interview, he became terrified of the truth, of the irrefutable arguments, etc., and decided not to put it on the air. So this is probably the only time you'll get to hear it, and I hope you find it both entertaining, inspirational, educational, and worth whatever you paid for this tape. Thank you. Listen now.
3, 2, and 1. Good evening and welcome to Tri-State Today, a public affairs program of WEMN. And we have with us this evening from New York, Hopewell Junction, New York, Mr. Vin Lewis, who is co-founder of All Roads Ministry. How you doing, Mr. Lewis?
I'm doing fine, and thank you for having me, Jeff.
Well, you're certainly welcome. What can you tell us about All Roads Ministry? Who are you affiliated with or who are you not affiliated with?
Briefly, All Roads Ministry, we abbreviated ARM, is an organization which informs and induces and educates Roman Catholics to defend their faith from the Bible and right reason. We are an independent lay Catholic organization. By that I mean we're not in any way paid for or get our support directly from any Catholic church or from the Vatican or anything like that. We are lay people who function independently.
And you are registered with the Archdiocese of New York?
That seems to, I don't wish to give an evasive answer, but I can't seem to clear that up. I thought we were, and then it seems as if we weren't, because I think we failed to follow the proper administrative procedures. So let's put it this way. We tried once, but I don't think we ever made it.
Yeah.
But by the way, registration with an Archdiocese of New York does not give formal approval or disapproval from the Archdiocese. It's simply almost like as you would register with a county agent as being in business.
Yeah. ARM, All Roads Ministry, was founded in 1986 by you and Cindy Hoss.
Correct.
How did it happen that you founded this ministry?
To put it as briefly as possible, Jeff, it happened by accident because I used to watch Jim and Tammy Baker on TV. Excuse me. I found them sort of an interesting pair. And when they got in trouble, I didn't trust the newspapers to tell me the truth, so I went to an Assembly of God church and asked them what the story was about Jim and Tammy Baker. They informed me, and I was about to leave, and they said, would you care to look at a statement of our beliefs? And I said, oh, sure, what the heck? And I did, and to put it as mildly as possible, they were idiotic. And I said, well, gee whiz, you can't really mean this. And they said, of course we do. And I said, no, you don't. And they said, yes. And I said, well, what about this and what about that? And what I found was is that the secretary made no sense, and when she introduced me to the pastor, he made no sense. They were both completely incapable of defending what they believed, and then I thought it was very symbolic of what the pastor said to me. I asked him at the end of our time period if I could come back and discuss this at another time, and he said, no, you may not. And I said, okay, fine. And as I walked away, he said, now make sure you come on back. And I found every Protestant does that, tells you to go away and come back. I'll talk about it, and I won't. And to confirm it, what I did was started going on a personal odyssey of visiting every non-Catholic Protestant church that would allow me to talk to anybody at all. And about 2,200 interviews later, you're talking to me now.
All right. Were you a Roman Catholic at the time when you began this search?
Yes, I'm what's called a cradle Catholic, which means I was baptized a Catholic as a child and have remained one all my life. Although I've never been a very good one, I certainly wasn't a very active one at the time.
Well, why did you go on the search? I mean, other than what you just said, you were watching Tammy Faye and Jim Baker. Why did you get involved with this search, with this this project?
Looking back on it now, it's very easy to understand that God was impelling me to do so. In the sense of this, I was at the time relatively unemployed. If I remember correctly, I had a very small part-time job. I had just been fired from a major job and had an awful lot of time on my hands. And the incidents which occurred sort of aroused in me an intellectual curiosity. I had always been raised as a Catholic to believe the following, that non-Catholics were different and, of course, were wrong, but they had a reason for believing what they believed. My own personal interview with all of the Protestants and an awful lot of debating and reading every book I could get my hands on and talking to everybody who handed out tracts, etc., led me to the conclusion that, number one, not only were Protestants different, not only were they wrong, but that none of them had any reason for believing what they believed other than, in the true sense of the word, a willful acceptance of evil and wrong. And this I was trying to disprove in my own mind. I would say the first 200 or 300 interviews, I kept trying to disprove what I was being led into. I always was looking for what I always call that honest, knowledgeable Protestant, and of course I found out he didn't exist. And at that point I began to start feeling sorry for these people, a sense of compassion, and also I would say just the basic evangelistic tendency that every Christian has, to say, my gosh, there's a lot of wrong out there, there's a lot of misinformation, there's a lot of error. I have at least a partial obligation to try to set it straight, and so ARM grew out of that.
Mm-hmm. You are a non-profit organization.
Yes.
You have no employees other than volunteers.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. And your best understood, it says here in the information that you sent me, that you're a correspondence school.
Yes and no. We've sort of split recently. We've gone into a true correspondence school in the sense of that we offer through the mail, which something that leads to certification, an apologist training course. This is to train people to become competent and victorious Catholic apologists. But we're also mail order in the sense of that people send in orders to us either by phone or by mail for individual products because we produce approximately, I would say, 250 different titles, audio tapes, books, tracks, publications of different types, videotapes, almost all of which are devoted exclusively to understanding the basis, the biblical foundations of Catholicism, understanding the biblical problems with non-Catholic religions, and how to express this, how to bring people into the Church of Rome, how to defend it, how to explain, how to reason, that type of stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, obviously, you perceive or you think that there's a lot wrong with Protestants.
Yes.
In general.
Yes.
Give me an example.
Oh, sure.
Or two or three or four.
Sure. Well, they all really come down to one thing, and that is an utter rejection of the truth while at the same time claiming it.
Now, if a person gets up, say, in a court case and refuses to take an oath and says, I'm not going to tell you the truth, well, you might put him in jail for contempt. But if he says, I swear to God I'm going to tell the truth, and then he doesn't, well, now you know he's a liar. And just one example is Protestantism is based on a perpetual lie, and the perpetual lie is that the Bible means something, and then no Protestant ever takes it seriously. So let me give a very specific example of this general principle. Every Protestant that I've ever run into, and certainly would apply to the vast majority if it's not a universal instance, every Protestant says that when he dies, or anybody dies, an accounting will be made of his life. He will stand in front of the Lord, and the Lord will show him his life, and this man, the judged man, will see where he failed, where he succeeded, the times he had lust in his heart, the times he betrayed the Lord, all these various different things. Now, so far, that's no problem, because that's certainly in the Bible, and it's certainly Catholic teaching. And the Protestant will usually tell me, of course, that even though the accounting will take place, it will not prevent the man from ultimately achieving his salvation in heaven. Again, no problem with that. What I now have the problem with is this. When the man is presented with that accounting, and when he shows the time he's cheated on his wife, or the times he lied, or the time he was cruel, or the times he were uncharitable to his neighbor, this will cause him pain. The book of Revelations, one of the last chapters, specifically talks about how the saved saints will have tears wiped away from their eyes by the Lord themselves before they get into heaven. We have a situation of pain due to sins which will not keep you out of heaven. That is the definition of purgatory. Pain due to sin after death before heaven due to sins that will not keep you out of heaven. So what I have found is every Protestant believes in purgatory. Every single Protestant believes in purgatory, and every single Protestant lies about what they believe. Now, if they, number one, deny the truth, they could be simply mistaken. They could say, well, gee whiz, I didn't know that. But the fact is that they know it, and that they still insist that they deny it, says not only are they wrong, but they're being dishonest about it. And any religion, or any religious system, or any belief system, or any commitment to the Lord, which requires them to reject an advocacy of the truth, requires them to reject the clear words of Scripture, requires them to reject what at the same time accept, cannot possibly be good and cannot possibly lead to salvation. I've got other examples if you want more, but that would be just a very good one.
Let's have one more.
Sure. I'll just illustrate it with a specific instance. Not so long ago, I was on a Catholic radio station, and on a Catholic radio station, which was call-in, the host invited some call-ins from the audience, and since the people pretty much knew me, I tend to get primarily fundamentalists calling in to argue with me. And I asked one of the guys calling in, who of course claimed to be a fundamentalist and saved again and knowing the Bible and all of that nonsense, he said, well, I asked him a very simple question. Does Jesus say that if you do not forgive others, you will not be forgiven? And the guy said, well, of course not. Well, that's exactly true. It's a lie. I mean, in the sense of that's exactly what Protestants say. They don't read the words of Jesus. Jesus says in at least four specific places that unless we forgive others, we will not be forgiven. Four specific places, including Matthew 18 and including the versions of the Lord's Prayer, and I think it's also Matthew chapter 5. Now, the point is, if Jesus says that, it's true. But Protestants say the exact opposite. Protestants say you don't have to forgive anybody. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. All your sins are forgiven. Jesus says one thing. Protestants say the other. Okay, we have a maybe honest difference of opinion? No. Because whenever you confront the Protestant with this thing, he will deny the words of Jesus. He will lie. He will betray the Lord right then and there, face to face, guaranteed, no exceptions, never fails. And again, if a religion forces a man to betray, number one, God, number two, the person who he says is God, then this religion can't possibly be anything holy, can't possibly be anything good, can't possibly be anything based on the Bible. All it can be is either satanic or man-made. I'm in a charitable mood. I'll call it all man-made.
Now, are you defining as Protestant? Anybody who is not a Catholic?
Yeah, I use the word very loosely,
but I'll be much more specific today.
Okay.
Because I tend to say that everyone who is not a Catholic falls into the Protestant category. But for this purpose of this interview, allow me to define the word Protestant as follows. A Protestant is he who claims to be a Christian, claims that the Bible is the Word of God, claims that Jesus is both God and man, and yet is not within the fold of Rome. In other words, does not accept the Pope as the Vicar of Christ, the visible head of the Church on earth. So that would include Orthodox, and it certainly includes all the fundamentalists, the evangelicals, and the mainliners.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's stop right here and,
sure.
and tell the folks that if they have any comments that about this program, they can call us here at WEMM at 525-5141. We are pre-recording this program. And should you have any comments, that you can call us here at WEMM. Should they want to call you, can we give your phone number?
Absolutely.
Okay. Vin Lewis at area code 914-226-4172. Now,
let me make a general statement, if I can, Jeff.
Okay.
Simply because I believe one of my supporters in the West Virginia area told me that not so long ago you have Dave Hunt on, and Dave Hunt, in case people are not aware, is a gentleman who writes books generally attacking the Catholic faith, although apparently he also writes some books which contain some truth on occasion. Dave Hunt says something interesting, that Catholics are not willing to debate him anymore, so he's unwilling to debate, or so he's willing to debate, but he cannot find Catholics to debate. Well, I'll issue a challenge to Dave Hunt or to anybody else. And I'll debate him on any Catholic versus non-Catholic issue at any mutual agreeable site, at any mutual agreeable date, and I require no fee to do so. So no one can say, well, gee whiz, Ben, we can't afford to fly you here. I'll fly myself. I will say this, however, and I think this is a challenge, and again, it's one of the, shall I say, the exposés of the lack of faith among the Protestants. When I debate, and when people I train debate, they take a vow in advance of that debate, publicly. They swear by the Holy Spirit, so it's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit if they're lying, the unforgivable sin, they're doomed if they're not telling the truth, that they will convert on the spot if anything dealing with Catholicism or Romanism, as sometimes want to refer to it, is shown to be wrong, anything, or if they can bring up any objection to Catholicism, any whatsoever, that I cannot answer on the spot, at the time, if necessary or desired, from the King James Version of the Bible alone. I debated three Protestant, I wouldn't say experts, but I would say Protestant officials in a Baptist day school in Kankakee, Illinois, about a year or so ago, on the Immaculate Conception, and I proved the Immaculate Conception, which, by the way, for Protestants who are not aware, that is the fact that the Blessed Mother was born and remained all of her life completely sinless. Conceived, born, and remained all of her life sinless. Immaculate Conception, not the virgin birth. I proved that from a King James Version of the Bible. That was the conditions under which they would debate. So the point is, when you give out my telephone number, tell these people to feel free to call me and ask any question about Catholicism and ask me to prove it to them from the Bible. And if I cannot, I'll leave the Church of Rome immediately. But I will point out this. No, I repeat, no non-Catholic will ever take a similar oath. No non-Catholic will ever say, Vin, if you win every point, if I can't refute everything, I'll come into the Church of Rome. And the reason they won't is because they don't rely on the promises of Jesus. The only reason I can say this, which otherwise would be an act of complete arrogance, is because Jesus promises us numerous occasions that when we defend the faith, he will put the words in my mouth. So all I'm doing is betting on God. Remember, as Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. And as St. James says in his epistles, God can withhold nothing good from us. All we have to do is ask for it with a good, strong heart, a complete commitment. So I ask for it with that commitment, and that is why I never fail in my debates. As far I mentioned about 2,200 interviews. Included in that are approximately 750 debates, discussions, confrontations, one-on-ones of various different types, but always in some antagonistic position. My record is 750-0. Nobody's laid a glove on me yet. Nobody will.
All right. Since we are limited to time this evening, I want to get into some true differences that you state here between ARM and everyone else.
Yeah.
You do hold that God exists, functions in everyone for the ultimate salvation of man.
Yes.
In mind. Now, what do you mean by that?
I mean that we have to stop thinking of God simply as a concept, but understand that God is a personal God, a powerful God, a loving God, a compassionate God. So in other words, when I am defending the faith, or when you were to find the truth or to resist temptation, that God is right there, right present with us. His power and his strength is right there so that we need never fail except due to sin. Every time we do something wrong, it's due to sin. Not a fallen nature, because God gives us enough grace once we're baptized to do everything that is right every time. And that includes understand the Bible, preach the truth, etc. One of the bits of nonsense about Protestantism I always find so interesting is when Protestant ministers will tell me how they're struggling with the faith and they're still working this out and they haven't understood this yet. And they haven't. And I say, why didn't you ask God for the truth? And of course they just laugh as if this is a silly thing. Well, it is a silly thing if you don't believe in God. But if you do believe in God, it's not a silly thing at all. I have seen young, under 10-year-old Catholic girls prove aspects of the faith because they called on God. I have seen Protestant professors fail miserably, men. The reason is they don't believe really in the existence of a God who's right then and right there.
All right, we'll go to number two now. Every rejection of Catholicism is due to sin.
Correct.
All right. Now, you just covered that. It also follows that every man is capable of defending the faith if he merely calls upon God for aid. And you
yes.
just covered that, too.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we'll go down to this one, and this is the one that I...
By the way, Jeff, just let me say something in addition to that. Although, despite the fact my organization puts out all these products which teach people how to instruct the faith and gives them an incentive to do so, they really don't need us. All they need is God and the faith.
Uh-huh.
One of our tricks, I call it a trick because that's really what it is, one of our secret agendas is to get Catholics to believe in God because most Catholics don't either. Not any different from Protestants as far as that goes.
All right. There is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church.
That's correct.
All right. To put... This is to quote what you've got on this information sheet here. To put it slightly different, there are only, in italics, Catholics in heaven, and there are many Catholics in hell.
Right.
Where do you get that there are only Catholics in heaven?
Well, just a way would be if you look at the Gospel of St. John, when Jesus says, among other things, I have one flock, one shepherd. They know my voice, mine know me. And then he even says, I have other flocks that I have to make part of this flock. My flock honors the Blessed Mother, lights candles in front of statues, wears medals around our necks, and sees no problem with having the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass done every single day. We tell our sins to the priest for purposes of confession. If you guys don't, then we're not in the same flock. There's no two ways about it. So... And the Mormons aren't in the same flock. And the Evangelicals aren't in the same flock. And the Lutherans aren't in the same flock. Let's get it straight. We're all following different shepherds. Because the head shepherd I got on earth happens to live over in Rome. Now, if you don't accept him as a shepherd, you're not in the same flock I am. Then what we do is we simply follow through with that. Since only one flock, only one shepherd, only one truth, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, not divided into parts, house divided against itself cannot stand, it must... follow that only the true faith can be the one that is a necessary condition for salvation. I repeat that, a necessary, not a sufficient. In other words, as I say before, not all Catholics go to heaven, but only Catholics go to heaven. And one way we can prove this, of course, is by any of the numerous miracles, including the miracle that took place in Fatima, Portugal in 1917, in which the sun came down from the sky and was seen by 70,000 people. Now, as soon as the Protestants come up with a miracle like that, they got an argument. But until then, they got to admit that it was Jesus promised his followers would do greater signs than he did. This is a greater sign than he did. It was done in his church, honoring his mother, confirming his faith, his lordship, his theology, and his way of salvation, all of which is Catholicism.
All right. We've got about 4 minutes. I'm going to give your phone number out again. 914-226-4172 and ask for Vin Lewis or anybody else. Is Cindy Hoff
Well, she doesn't live here. She just helps me a lot. She has a regular job. Somebody has to have a regular job. So she helps me on her times off, and sometimes she's here and I'm not, so you could certainly speak to her. But most likely I'd be the guy answering the phone.
All right. And should you have any questions, you can call us here at the studio at WEMM at 525-5141, area code 304. Now, you do produce tapes, and you put together booklets and other things for study guides.
Yes.
And things. And where would they write for that?
Well,
if
they wanted a catalog, I would ask them to send $2 to cover the postage at ARM.
Okay.
55. And that's Palin. That's P as in papacy, A-L-E-N, Road, number 38.
Okay.
So that's 55 Palin Road, number 38.
Uh-huh.
Hopewell, that's one word, spelled the way it sounds, Junction, you can abbreviate that, J-C-T, New York, 12533.
Okay. And the phone number again is 914-226-4172,
right.
And you'll talk to Vin Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lewis, I'm sure we're going to have some feedback.
I hope so.
On this. Oh, you can count on it. because you have said some things that folks in this area are going to take.
Once again, Jeff, the only point, point I would like to emphasize is everything I've said I'm quite willing to back up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't back down from anything. You can't expect to go to heaven. It's God's truth. I'll bear witness to it. Any open confrontation, anywhere, anytime, or privately, I don't mind. But the point I'm making is I'm willing to put my soul where my mouth is.
Yeah.
So if anybody really is upset and they want to talk to me on the phone, that's fine. But if they say, well, you know, my brother-in-law is smart and he could beat you up and, you know, verbally and show you where you're wrong, well, let your brother-in-law come forth. Let's get a hall somewhere and let's do it in public.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we are out of time.
Fine.
But I do thank you, Mr. Lewis, for talking to us. And we want to say once again that if you have any comments, you can call us here at WEMM at 525-5141. And we thank you once again, Mr. Lewis.
One brief comment, Jeff.
Sure.
I really thank you for this. I think it required, if I can use that expression, moral courage with a non-Catholic. God bless you for it. It'll probably get you a cooler place in hell.
Well, I look forward to going to heaven.
I hope you do.
Yes, I definitely do. I stick to Romans 10, 9, and 10. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And
we agree on that.
That's what I do believe. And therefore, I know I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth.
There
and I will see Jesus, and I will talk to him. Praise God forevermore. Thank you
very much,
Mr. Lewis.
Right.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to the interview, and maybe you can understand why they refused to broadcast this. Now, Jeff, the fellow I spoke to, I think, at least this is what my sources say, that he really did want to go through it, but the station manager was afraid, because I guess I would convert everybody by the immediacy of my arguments. Any rate, to put it as briefly as possible, I hope you enjoyed listening. And, of course, I hope, you know, you'd be willing to do the same thing. Since I have a couple more minutes on this tape, let me get into motivation rather than instruction. It is clear to me that unless the rapture occurs before I die, I'm going to die someday, and that means this organization is going to have to continue without me. If it does continue without me, we need several things. One is people like you who listen, who will ultimately take charge to keep it mechanically going. But also we'll need people like you who are listening to be willing to do the same thing. I did not know what Jeff was going to ask me. I sent him some literature, primarily something along the ideas of normal type literature that we sent out to people on inquiry letters, and that's what he was pretty much reading from. I did not anticipate his questions. I did not anticipate his comments or what he was going to ask me to testify to or bear witness to, etc. The point comes down to simply this. You should be willing to do this. When I'm gone off this earth and you're a Catholic listening to this tape, then you should be the one being interviewed by Jeff, and you should be willing to put your soul on the line and put your soul where your mouth is and put your mouth where your faith is. So I hope some of you someday are being listened to on other audio cassette tapes for doing the same thing. And that about sums it up. And needless to say, we've given out the address on this particular date, both sides, probably about 13, 14 times, so I really don't think you need to know how to get in touch with me if you want to. But, of course, we're always looking still for volunteers, but primarily we're looking for imitators. As St. Paul says, be an imitator of me. I'm on St. Paul's side. For heaven's sakes, imitate me also. All I can say is I hope you've enjoyed the tape. Hope you've gained something from it. Hope it's also been entertaining, enlightening, made your day a little bit better for listening to it. Thanks for listening to it. God bless. Keep in touch.